Welcome. what a strange world we're living in right now, and going to start out with the announcements because only Kathy is here to hear them. Children's Bible study is not in session while school is closed, and definitely pray for the kids and the families that are trying to work through schooling at home for now. Our next communion would have been next week, the 5th of April, but that's postponed until we know that it's safe and legal to do it as a group. If it's not soon, we may need to do a drive-by communion with me in personal protective equipment. Potluck on Easter Sunday, the 12th, at this time, we're assuming that that's postponed. If something changes, we'll let people know. There is an offering box inside the building on the north wall. If you have a key, feel free to come in and place your offering in there. Otherwise, you can mail offering to Skykomish Community Church, P.O. Box 56, Skykomish, Washington, 98288. And I apologize for anybody that's listening that's a guest. You know, feel free to not mail us anything. We just love Jesus and love each other and trying to give people opportunity to worship in tithes and offerings. Spring cleaning was going to be on April 1st, and that's going to have to be rescheduled to a later date. The prayer spotlight is looking at Carwood Community Church in Leote, Kansas. Justin and Sarah Ingram are the missionary couple there. Leote is located in western Kansas, where the wind blows, and this time of year we can see all four seasons in a day. You know what? I messed that up, so my apologies, and I'll change that. Anybody that wants to look at the prayer spotlight will be able to find that online. I'll do a link. I didn't update that from last week's prayer spotlight. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are God, you are good, you are awesome. We trust you in the midst of trials and tribulations. We know that you'll carry us through the water and through the fire. We won't be drowned or burned, and we just are thankful, God, that even through this pandemic that's going the world over, that it can help us recognize who you are and all that you've done for us. I pray that we can lean heavily on you and not trust in our 401ks or our IRAs or in our government or in even the medical professionals, God. We can trust that you will work through all of those things. But in the meantime, I pray that we can recognize that when everything's stripped away, we still have you. We're still richer than we can imagine. And we're grateful that you love us enough to just be who you are in our lives, to dwell within your body, within your church. And I pray that we can all feel peace and be blessed. The sermon today, Ephesians, is the book we're in, and we're in chapter 5 this week still, starting with verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Lord, we're so grateful that you loved us and demonstrated to us your love even when we were not lovable, even when we hadn't reached out to you or loved you in any way, Lord Jesus. You came and you dwelt among us humans and you lived a perfect life, laid your life down to cover our sins, not that you had any reason to, but just because of your love. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we learn to imitate you, to imitate God, that we can love the way you love, that we can love with a sacrificial love, love with a desire for others and not for ourselves. Help us to truly know what to put off in our lives and then what to put on and how to have our attitude of our minds renewed and changed and made right. Give us the ability to be wise in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. We're so grateful that we get to pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. And now verse 3 of Ephesians 5. This is today's text. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. That first word here in the New International Version, but, and it, that would refer back to what just came before it. We're being asked to imitate God and love like God loved. But among you there must not be any hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. And those are all different types of love. I think worldly love, where you're looking at, you know, the love of money, the love of desire, the ways that we have where our hearts are impure and wrong, and we love that in ways. And it's like, that's not the kind of love that Paul's talking about here. He's saying love with God's love. So that word but, it's just kind of important that we recognize this isn't in isolation. We're not looking at this verse and saying, okay, here's a list of bad things, don't do them. Because we can ask people to be moral, but if we just take off all of the sexual immorality, impurity, and greed, we take all that off, but we don't replace it with something good, which was just referred to in the previous verse, to love like Jesus loved, with a sacrificial love. If we don't replace the evil with the good, if we just take off, we leave a vacuum and there's a problem. Right now, as I look outside, it's raining and it's a sweet spring rain, and even though it's still a little bit cold and we haven't seen great transition into spring up here in Skykomish yet, I know that that's coming. And I know that I looked at my garden yesterday out in front of the house, and I can dig out all of the weeds and make everything clean in that garden bed, but if I don't tend it and replace it with something good, those weeds will just come right back, and they'll come back with a vengeance. And it's the same thing in our lives. If we eliminate the bad things in our lives, but we don't replace them with the God things in our lives, then we're just going to fall back into something worse, something that's more problematic. So that word but to me is important. And then the next two words, among you. And just as a reminder, this book, this letter, this epistle was written to God's holy people, to the saints, to the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. And so when he says among you, he's talking about among God's holy people, among the saints, among the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. There shouldn't even be a hint. There must not be, that's an imperative, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. And traditionally, this is where we as pastors would come up with a whole long list of sins, sexual sins that we're not prone to, so we can point fingers and we can look and say how terrible is society right now. And yet, you got to remember this is a letter that's being written to followers of the way, followers of Jesus. This is a letter that's written to the holy ones, the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. We should not expect the world to live according to God's moral plan. We shouldn't expect the world to have perfection. We really should expect the world to act like the world and not be surprised by it. It's not about us trying to correct all of those bad sinners out there. This is a reminder to we that are in the faith, we that are the faithful ones in Christ Jesus, we that are God's holy people, His chosen people, His followers, we are the ones that are told we must not even have a hint of these things listed in the verse. Sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, or of greed. Now just to kind of put a little bit of a footnote on the sexual immorality and pointing out, Jesus had some things to say about that. And in Matthew 5, he's giving what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And he's getting to the part where, you know, if you have anger in your heart, that's as bad as being a murderer. And then he touches on another commandment, verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Well, yeah, that's been said. That's pretty obvious. It's part of God's law. You shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, Jesus says, that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The standard that Jesus has for us is a heart standard. It's not even just an action standard. It's not even words. It's what's in our heart. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and our deeds come from our heart. And he's saying, you know, adultery's bad. Yeah, we all agree on that. But a lot of you that think you're above that and you've never committed that sin, have you ever looked at somebody with improper, impure thoughts? That's the same thing. And so I think we have to recognize that when we're speaking to the church, we're speaking to God's holy saints, the faithful ones in Christ Jesus. We have tendencies to sin as well. And these are things that need to be put off within the entire body of Christ as we're working with one another then. This isn't something we go to the world and say, you better stop sinning, but we can go to one another in love. The same kind of love that Jesus had. It's like, I'll do anything to help you stop what's hurting you. I'll do anything to help you follow Christ with your whole heart. And please, you help me follow Christ with my whole heart as well. And let's move towards heart attitudes. Let's move away from the impure thoughts, the impure things that sneak in. And when he says there must not be even a hint of these things, it's real difficult to live in this world and not be of the world. It's difficult as you're looking at things on the internet to not notice that ad that's flashing in the corner where they're trying to sell something, and whether it's a car or a swimming suit or underwear or whatever it is, it's like even selling skin products, you know, they try to throw things in your face to the point where we need to get away from those hints of immorality, those hints of impurity. As we look at what's going on in the world today with COVID-19, and people are given tests, and what they're being tested for is there any sign at all that you have this virus? Because if you have the virus, it's going to attach itself to your cells, and it's going to multiply, and it's going to keep on growing until it's worked its course and God has done the healing in you. And just a hint of it is enough to be concerned, and then we need to find ways to eliminate all of these things, any kind of impurity. If you're drinking a glass of water and there's just a hint of impurity in it, that can be bad. If we have impurities in our lives all the time, and you know, Purell is doing great right now, and Clorox and all of these other tools that are trying to eliminate things, but even the best of their advertising says this eliminates 99.9%. Well, there's still a hint of impurity in the other 0.1%. And to be perfect, to be a true imitator of Christ, to be 100% follower of Christ, we can't have any impurities in us. And that's not just as individuals. This is, when it says among you, it's talking about y'all. It's talking about the plural you, among the body of Christ, among the followers of Christ, among the church. There's not to be any of these things. The goal is pure hearts, unblemished hearts, pure and spotless and unblemished. That's always been the goal. And this concept of greed, watching your IRA or your 401k or your whatever other accounts you have dwindle in this economic pandemic that we're having, if that's creating fear or if it's creating anger or other concerns in us, it's showing that maybe our hearts are more towards what we can have and hold on to and keep than it is to what we can share with others. And in the previous verses before chapter 5, it was talking about all kinds of things we're supposed to put off and put on. And part of what we're putting off is an attitude of anger. Part of what we're putting off is false speech or untruthful speech. Part of what we're putting off is unwholesome talk. Part of what we're putting off is stealing. And part of what we're putting on is working with our hands so that we can have something to share with those in need. And part of what we're putting on is speaking the truth with our mouths so that we can build up and edify those that are around us. There's so many lessons in here. And when we start thinking about greed, we may not think we're the greedy ones. We can usually point fingers to some large corporation or somebody else that's much more greedy than we are. And yet, there can't even be a hint of these things in our lives. A lot of things need to be put off. And then the new mind attitude that this verse talks about is when it says, because these are improper for God's holy people. So we put these things off because they're improper. And as we put them off, then we know we're going to have to put something else on. And he's already mentioned that in the previous verse, and he'll continue to mention things in the next few verses about what to put on. But putting on God's love, putting on a love that gives, a love that sacrifices, a love that shares with others. And I am very pleased to be able to report that I have seen that through this community, through this church community and others within the Skycomish community. People have been putting on sacrificial love. They've been finding ways to serve one another, even through this time of physical separation. And there's been opportunities that have been taken and shared, and sometimes it's just a phone call with encouraging words. I got a wonderful call from John yesterday, and he shared with me a number of things that God was placing on his heart, and it was encouraging to know that in the midst of struggle, in the midst of separation from even his wife at this time, John is finding God speaking to him and saying, you know, if you're angry, if you're fearful, you're not looking at things properly. If you look at things with the light of Christ, it'll clean all that up. And so I appreciated that reminder from John. I know that he had a lot of other good advice to share with me, and I appreciate that. I've had other people call me, Zach and others, that have just demonstrated over the phone and in texts love, caring, sharing, and I'm hearing good reports of people in the church community talking with one another and loving one another and finding ways to give. And even in this time where it seems like we couldn't possibly do anything, people are still finding ways to do it. So we're grateful for that. And I know that God's working in this body. I know that some very positive, wonderful, good things are taking place. I'm going to turn to Galatians 5, and in Galatians 5, it's a pretty familiar section, a passage. When we talk about putting off things that we're supposed to put off, this is one of the put-off lists in the Bible, and it's followed up by a very obvious put-on with the instruction that we're putting on the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, our lives are going to be different than if we're walking in the flesh. So it's kind of, again, you know, Paul oftentimes talks about the contrast of the things that we don't need in our lives and the things that we do need in our lives. Starting in verse 19 of Galatians 5, the acts of the flesh are obvious. And then he throws this right out there, just like he did in Ephesians 5. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, that might be considered greed, right? Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And the like means he could have gone on and on. This is not an inclusive list. There's a whole lot of other things that are obvious deeds of the flesh. They're acts of the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's where we keep talking about, we're supposed to be imitators of God. We're supposed to have the love that Jesus had for the people around us. Imitators of God are going to love. That's just who they are. That's what they do. That's part of their DNA. It's their character. When we have our cells that are multiplying, our good cells that are making an abundance that's giving us the ability to love others in such a way that we never run out of that love. We are overflowing with springs of living water, sharing with others and never running dry because we're connected with Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. This is Spirit fruit. The Spirit living in us, dwelling in us, like Nick reminded us of a few now weeks or months ago when he took us back to chapter 2 of Ephesians. God wants to dwell in his body, in his people. He wants to demonstrate his love, his Spirit love, as we put off all of these worldly things, and then we're putting on Spirit fruit. So the next one is joy. Are we happy in the midst of all this? If we're finding ourselves without peace, without joy, without love, we're not leaning into the Spirit and allowing Him to live and work through us, to let His seed grow in us and to multiply. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we've got all these things, Holy Spirit fruit, that we put on as we put off other things. If we are followers of Jesus, if we're followers of the way, we will have changed lives. There's no way that we can stay the same and have sexual immorality, impurity, and greed being prevalent in us. Now, when we find those things happening in our lives, if it doesn't grieve us, if recognizing greed in our own lives doesn't grieve us, maybe we're not in the Spirit. Maybe the Spirit's not in us. Let's honestly assess as we look at what's working in our lives. If we have impurity and we don't care, if there's sexual immorality and we justify that and say that's no big deal. As the body of Christ, that this must not be. Very plainly says, there must not be even a hint of these things. I'm turning to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John, that disciple that Jesus loved. I'm so grateful that he was inspired by Holy Spirit to write so many things for us. I'm going to look at John, and then I'm going to also look at 1 John, one of the epistles that John wrote. But in John chapter 8, and starting with verse 31, this is after there'd been a dispute over who Jesus is, and there'd been a lot of argument and things going on. And then it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, okay, so there's some Jews that say they believed him. He says to them, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to my teaching, you know, there's some things you can learn if you listen to me and if you hold to it, if you actually practice and live my teaching, you are really my disciples. So yeah, you can believe in Jesus even. There's people that say they believe in Jesus, but they're not holding to his teaching. They're not followers. They're not truly disciples. Because Jesus tells this group, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's pretty huge. Because, like John was sharing with me, if somebody has anger, if somebody has fear, they don't know the truth. Because the truth doesn't bring us to anger. The truth doesn't bring us to fear. And there's a whole lot of misinformation. There's a lot of false information, intentionally or unintentionally, with good thoughts towards others. Some people are spreading falsehood, and they're not trying to hurt anyone, and yet they're creating fear. And the enemy is very happy to have us all running around frightened and worried and afraid and angry and blaming others. And those are places that every one of us have gone and probably will go again. Father, forgive us. If you've never done that, and then God bless you. But perfect love is going to cast out fear. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. It's almost the very end of your New Testament. In 1 John, here again, the apostle that Jesus loved, he's written a letter, and in this letter, there's a whole lot of ways that we can kind of use 1 John as a litmus test, and we look at the writings in 1 John and we can determine whether or not we really are followers of Jesus. There's some hints and some clues in here. Things like you can't say you love God and then hate your brother. Doesn't work that way. If you love God, you're going to love like God loves. If you're living in God, if you're in Christ and He's in you, and if the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, you're going to love. And so there's all of this is really a little treatise on love in many ways, and some of the mistakes that people that claim to be in Christ have fallen into. If you look at chapter 4 of 1 John 4, and starting in verse 17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. So if you want to know for sure that you don't have to worry about the day of judgment, you're going to get before the throne and it's like you've got confidence. You're ready. You'll be able to stand before the throne without any problems. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Then he says, in this world, we are like Jesus. It's just like Paul was talking about in Ephesians. He says, be imitators of God. Be followers of God. Act like God. Well, we can't do that in our own strength. We have to put off all of this old self and put on the new. And the only way we can do that is in Christ. So in this world, we're like Jesus. That's how we can have confidence. Now, if we're not like Jesus, how can we become more like Jesus? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just. He'll forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to worry about God pushing us away if we say to Him, I'm a human and I'm pretty messed up, and you're God and you're perfect, and can I have your perfection? Will you please take my sin? And He says, yep, I'll trade you my righteousness, my robe of righteousness I'll place on you, and I'll take on your filthy rags, your sin, your evil. And it's a, if anybody's not smart enough to take that trade, I'm sorry. Just give your sins to Jesus and take on His righteousness. And then verse 18 of 1 John 4. There is no fear in love. Now, if we're finding ourselves in this day and age, this world, this pandemic, if we're finding ourselves in fear, that's not how we're supposed to react. There is no fear in love. Jesus is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So we are able to lean into God, to know Christ, to love Him with our whole heart, and if we are connected and in the Spirit, and if all of y'all and all of me all are connected as followers of the way, as God's holy people, we don't have to have the improper things in our life. In fact, we're going to be able to have the proper things, the perfect things, the love that Jesus loved us with. If we can love with that kind of love, there's no fear, because there's not going to be any punishment. We know that we have confidence in the throne of righteousness. We have the ability to say, God, I lay my life before you, knowing that it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that brings me into this kingdom. It's the righteousness and love of Christ that makes me worthy. I'm going to close with another short passage from Ephesians. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, let us rest in the knowledge that you have the power to do more than we ask or imagine, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And we're asking now for some pretty huge things, God. We're asking for our nation to turn back to you. We're asking for your people to lay down their immorality, their impurity, their greed, for your people to pick up the love of you, the Spirit love of Jesus. Help us to walk in your way, to walk in the way of Jesus, to walk in love. Amen.